Thank you, Steve. Hi, everybody. It's Bill and Wendy.
Welcome to the show. We're at 312-981-7200. Hi, Wendy.
I'm rocking to a little Neil
I know
Young.
You are. I see you. Last night, now, before I say anything about this, I'm about to ask a question that some might think is either racist or sexist.
Oh, great. Thanks for starting the show this way.
I needed to
Bill Leff, L-E-F-F, 435 North Michigan Avenue.
I needed to ask Jasmine this before the show so that on air it didn't sound either racist or sexist, and I needed Steve to be a party to this so there was a witness.
Can I get a witness? You are neither sexist nor racist.
I don't think I am.
So this is interesting.
But I witnessed something last night that I didn't understand. And I wanted to ask Jasmine the question, but I needed to preface it by saying I'm genuinely interested and concerned, and I don't know the answer to this question, and I don't want you to think it's racist or sexist. And then I asked her the question, and she agreed that it is neither racist nor sexist. Steve, on the other hand, just laughed and walked away. He wanted no part of this. Last night, I went to see this movie, very, very popular movie, called The Quiet Place.
Oh, my God, I'm dying to see it.
It's really good.
All right.
It's really good. And I thought about you because the premise of this movie is these creatures. I am not going to give away anything important.
I would be dead in a minute.
You'd be the first person on Earth killed.
I know.
Because you have to be. There's
quiet.
These creatures on the planet. And if you make noise, they come and they tear you to shreds. Poor Wendy would be there. They would destroy you within seconds.
I heard Dean describe the whole concept of the movie, and I thought I would never survive.
Nope.
Mm-mm. There are a lot of people that would be dead with me.
You'd be dead, like, you know when you go into the theater and they play pleasant music? Like...
Oh, I love that song.
You'd be dead during that.
Yep.
They would kill you. The monsters would tear you to shreds.
Because I would say, oh, I love this song.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know. I really would be. I can't ever shut up. Ever.
Well, okay. So the premise of the movie is this. There's a family, and it's John Krasinski. You know, Jim from The Office is in it. And his real-life wife plays his wife in the movie. She's beautiful, and they've got a family. But they know they must be quiet because these creatures are lurking, and they want to kill you. They want to come and tear you up. All right. So the movie starts, we're at a full house there at the theater. Everybody's there. We all want to see A Quiet Place. Ooh, this is going to be so scary. And it was. It was really scary. In front of me are four African-American girls of college age. Anytime anything happened in the movie that was scary or suspenseful, they would hold their hands up to the screen and look away as if to say to the movie,
oh, no, you didn't.
Don't do this. This is too scary.
Don't you do that. Don't.
They all would hold up their hands to stop the action in the movie. And it didn't work once. Every time they did it, I go, it's not going to work. I know for a fact. They've already filmed this movie. You cannot stop it just by the mere force of holding your hand up and looking away. So I asked Jasmine the question, is that a thing? Because I've never seen this before, but I was fascinated by it. And I myself went home and tried it.
Did it work?
With the Colbert Show. No. It did not work at all. Jasmine, is this a new thing? Who invented this?
I have no idea.
I've never
done that before.
All right.
I just think it's how old were they? College?
College age. I'd say around 20. 19, 20, 21, somewhere in there.
Girls go through a phase in their life where they're super annoying, black or white or Asian or anything.
I don't think they were trying to be annoying, I swear.
Really? Because there are other people watching the movie with them.
I was annoyed by it, but I was more fascinated by it because I knew for a fact it would not work.
I've seen girls probably younger, a little younger than that, that were white girls that did the same thing. That's why I don't like going to theaters.
There's either, too much of that.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, you need to give quiet candy. Twizzlers really make a ton of noise, and when you have girls in front of you that are going, hey, can I have one of those?
Yes.
Hey, pass the popcorn.
Yes.
No. You are not in your living room.
I know that. Believe me, I know that. And you also can't, we've talked about this before, you can't text people during a movie because the screen is bothersome.
I turn my the glow all the way down. Because there are some times that I feel I need to, I don't text back, but I need to know what the text says.
During the movie?
Bill, I'm a mom. Sometimes I need to know what's going on. If Jim and I are out, yeah, I look, and if it's nothing, then I put it back. But my screen, you can set it so it's like really super low, also saves your battery life.
So no one around you can see it?
Nope, I swear to God. Right. And I do it, right. It's in my purse, actually. Right. So I turn it and look in my purse, and then I turn it back down.
Now, here's my other question. Is this the new way? Remember how people used to, especially during horror movies, you'd see Friday the 13th or something like that, and you knew the killer was hiding in the closet, but the person was about to go in the closet.
Spoiler alert.
Right? Yeah, please. So people, you'd hear people in the audience go, don't go in that closet. Do not open that closet. Oh, he opened the closet. And then he gets killed. So is that the 2018 version of don't open that closet?
Yes.
You hold your hand up to the screen as if to say, this must stop now because those creatures are going to eat you.
There are a handful of people that ruin it for everyone else. That's why I really don't like going to the theater anymore.
Wendy, I have no tolerance for stuff like this during a movie, but I was so fascinated that...
That's odd.
It was almost like it was choreographed. Like all of that, they were like...
Really?
Yeah, they were like the Supremes or so. They would all... It was like stop in the name of... They were doing that kind of thing.
Stop in the name of fear.
In the fear. And then they would just look away, hand up, look away. I wanted to join their
no.
group. I want to do that too. I don't like what I'm seeing. I don't like that monster eating those people. I want to be in with you.
Why is it they were right in front of you?
Yeah, row in front of me. Yeah.
Okay, because it's like I always pick the wrong grocery line to go in, and I always pick the wrong seat at a theater.
I know wherever I sit in a theater, and it could be up front in the corner. It could be, you name it. Somebody's going to come in always at the last minute
yeah.
and sit near me and try to figure it out during the movie. Is that the same guy? No, that's that guy's brother. Oh, because he looks like that guy. No, it's his brother. You get that all during the movie. There were a lot of parts in the movie yesterday that were a little bit hard to figure out at first. Like, for instance, when the movie starts out, it's like at the very beginning, it goes, day 93. So then a lady says to her husband, did they not show some of it? No, that's
just
the way the movie,
for
right.
It.
It'll explain itself.
And if it doesn't, then you can complain. Then write to John Krasinski.
Right. Don't start a movie in the middle, John Krasinski, Jim from Office. But I wanted to go, trust me, I've seen other movies. A lot of times it takes a little while for you to figure it out. It'll happen eventually. Just be patient.
You know, it's finally happened. And I actually heard Steve Bertrand say this, that his viewing habits have changed, where he watches a lot of shows and movies by himself on his iPad or computer. And I've been known to do that lately, too, because I cannot stand when other people talk. This is even in my own family,
right.
And I love them. It's like... If you want to talk, it's cool.
Right.
Hit pause.
Right.
Don't talk while the show's on.
I know. You'll miss something.
Yeah.
I'm with you,
you
all
know,
the way.
Hey, hit the pause button and then we can, you know, converse and then we can regroup and then,
right.
then hit play. But don't talk while it's on.
I know.
I just like watching things by myself.
No, I get it. There's something about the experience of seeing it on a gigantic screen with other people. I mean,
yeah.
I like yesterday it was really fun to be in a room full of, I don't know, there was 140 people there just screaming or yeah,
that's pretty cool.
That was excellent. I like that.
Behave, people.
Behave.
Oh, behave.
All we ask. All right, we'll take a quick break and then there's more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
All right, it's Bill, it's Wendy, it's WGN Radio, and every once in a while, Bill, we get some amazingly sweet things via snail mail.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to say that. It reminds me of Blue's Clues.
That's it, yeah.
He just got a letter.
Yeah, let's find out who it's from.
When my dog Tiki passed away, we talked about this on the stream. Some listener sent me a card with no return address and I opened it and I was touched. I was freaked out. I was smiling. I was crying. It was from Tiki saying that he arrived in heaven with a beautiful little heaven's gate. And there was a little doggy door with footprints walking in it. You were there when I opened it. It was
I never
very
saw
touching.
Any note or letter that... brought forth every emotion a person could have, but that one did because it was very eerie and yet it made you happy and sad.
It did. And you said, let me see it. And you looked and you said, that's not Tiki's writing.
Yeah.
So it's really not from Tiki.
Tiki had much more of a circular kind of cursive style. And this, yeah, obviously it was faked, but what a nice sentiment.
It was really sweet. And then we have some listeners by the name of Barbara and Hank Enzelis, if mm-hmm. I hope I'm saying it right, Barbara and Hank Enzelis, and they sent me this little package of a wonderful thing. Wendy, after hearing about the loss of your family pet, so sorry, and then hearing about the new puppy, I had to share my favorite pieces with you. I've been giving this Norman Rockwell Pride of Parenthood print as a gift to new mothers, friends, family, and, well, just about anyone and everyone who's blessed with a son, along with this poem called To My Boy. And she's been doing this, Barbara Enzelis, for 41 years.
Wow.
Where she's been passing this along. They must go together. When the child gets older, I then share the He's Just a Little Boy poem as they begin to get into sports. I know your sons are no longer youngsters, but I couldn't send the print without the To My Boy poem. And then I thought, go ahead, throw in the other one too. So just all I ask is that you now share these when the occasion arises with people you know.
Very nice.
Are you getting a puppy or having a son?
I don't think so on either count. Nicely laminated, by the way. And Wendy, for those of you who don't know, insists that all of her mail be laminated. So I'm glad that they followed through on that edict. A geez edict. Very nice. Norman Rockwell, obviously a big pet person, because I think in nearly every one of his paintings there was a dog or some animal just
moving
around. Yeah,
the Thanksgiving dinner there was a turkey.
Yeah, there was.
On the platter.
That proves my point. Turkey didn't look like it was doing well, but whatever.
Well, thank you, Barbara and Hank Enzelis. And there are two poems. To My Boy, I want my boy to have a dog, or maybe two or three. He'll learn from them much easier than he will learn from me. A dog will teach him how to love and bear no grudge or hate. I'm not so good at that myself, but a dog will do it straight. Martin Hale has this poem that he wrote.
Oh, that's so nice.
It's
do the
really
one about
sweet.
The old guy from Nantucket.
There once was a guy from Nantucket.
Keep going. You're doing fine.
Who put the ball in a bucket.
Wait, you switched
he
it
said,
on
go
me.
Go fetch, Fido.
You switched it. I like the original one better. So now where will you... I'm hoping you'll put that someplace prominent in your home.
I will. I'm going to frame this. We have a Victorian home. Half of it's old and part of it's new. And I like to mix and match and have eclectic tastes. So I definitely will hang this. I'm loving my puppy.
Yeah.
He went the whole day without having an accident in the house.
That's...
Hey, me too.
Good.
And that's what Jim said to me. He goes, neither of us piddled today.
Right. Oh,
I'm
wow.
Like, good. Keep it
my
like
money's
that.
On Jimmy.
Yeah.
I got $20 riding on Jimmy.
It's just a lot of work. And I realized that I am a terrible mother because when I had my two boys, they went to daycare at a home setting with a wonderful family. And I didn't have to teach them. I didn't have to potty train them.
Oh, you didn't?
Because I was back at work.
Sure, of course. Yeah.
So someone else did it. And I wish I could send the puppy to an at-home place
do
so
it.
They
see what
can
happens.
Train him. Just, and then...
Right.
I lucked out with the kids.
Make life a lot easier.
Now I'm getting even for it.
Yeah. All right. We must do this. We have to take a break. Lisa Heffernan, who's been on with us in the past from Grown and Flown, will join us talking a little bit about empty nest syndrome, right? Is that what's coming up today? Dane Neal. And then at some point, I want to discuss this. One of America's most hated candies is going to stop production, and people are going nuts. They want to get their hands on this candy, even though they hate it. Does that make sense?
I can't wait to find out.
It doesn't make sense, but it's true. It's not Sen-Sen.
Is it Mary Jane?
No, it's not Mary Jane.
The worst.
It's not Mary Jane.
I like them.
It's not.
I don't like teeth, but I like them.
Then you're in good shape. All right, all that's ahead. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. Steve Bertrand, thank you very much. If you want, you can stick around. We all have kids that have gone to college. I have one that might go to college someday. And I have to confess something. With Michael, my first one, he had a phenomenal ACT score. He did a great job as Judas and Jesus Christ Superstar. He had a decent, he had a great time in high school. And yet the college that he wanted to go to, despite the high ACT scores, did not give very much money, no scholarship money. It was like, what was the purpose of it? And I pushed him so stinking hard. And now that I have a freshman, I am not going to push so hard. I am going to hold back. Lisa Heffernan from grownandflown.com, one of the co-founders, is on the line with us. And I'm telling you, I have learned not to push because it's not going to matter.
Hey, Wendy. Yeah, that's a lesson a lot of us are learning, unfortunately, the hard way. These kids are just feeling under so much pressure, and we're seeing it come out in the rates of depression. I don't mean to be gruesome, but suicide attempts. We're seeing a lot of negative results of how hard we push kids by telling them there was just one track. You've got to get into the best four-year college, and that's it. And if you don't do that, you failed.
Lisa, isn't part of this you kind of have to know what your child's limits are? Like, some kids need to be pushed a little bit more than others. Some, a little bit of pushing is way too much. So how do you figure out what the right recipe is?
It is. It is. It's constantly calibrating. I have that situation in my home. My older two are very different. They're a year apart. One I barely touched, and the other, you know, I push the way you push a shovel. but it's really, really important to think about what we're doing in that relationship in the long term. Because really, in the long term, our goal is to stay close to our kids, to have them trust us, to come to us, to advise us. If we're that person who's always saying, you need to do this, you need to do better, I want you to do this, you know, just constantly creating those unattainable expectations for them, we won't be that person in their life.
All right, so a survey of 100 parents of high school juniors and seniors, they were asked to define what constitutes a successful high school career. What does?
My opinion of what does?
Yes.
You know, what constitutes a successful high school career is if a kid comes out of high school knowing that there's something that they love to do and are interested in doing. That may or may not take them down the career path, the college path. It may take them down the career path. It may take them down the military path. If they discover what they love is working with their hands, there are wonderful high-paying jobs that kids can do, you know, apprentice, get some training straight out of high school. If high school taught them that they love English, or if high school taught them that they never wanted to take a math class again, that's important. It's important. Those are four important years of self-discovery. And if we set up one singular path, they never do that self-discovery.
I just remember, and Bill, you can think back, when I was in high school, I really knew I wanted to be on the radio, and I wanted to find a school that had a good communications program.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like you filled out an application. I don't think I had my mom help me. I think you did it in school.
Right.
It was basically your name and your address. It wasn't a lot. Now it's like, just going through the process of applying at colleges, it was frightening. I couldn't figure it out. How is a 17 or 18-year-old kid going to figure that out?
But, you know, Wendy, one of the interesting things you said is you knew that you what you wanted to do in high school. So somehow during those 4 years in high school, you had been led to have that self-discovery. You had been sort of the doors had been thrown open and said, what is it you want to do with your life? Now, a lot of times 18-year-olds don't know per se exactly. Sometimes they've never seen the career. You know, we know what radio is when we're young. There are careers that kids can't even know about yet. But if they don't sort of learn those things about themselves, if we put them on this singular track and they don't learn that about themselves, they stumble when they get to college. They really do. And it's nothing like when we went. Nothing at all. And we do have to monitor the process a little bit. It's very easy for things to fall through the cracks just because it's so complex now.
Lisa, you said a little while ago that maybe your child might learn that he or she never wants to take another math class again.
Yes.
I know math, though, is one of those things. I know you were just using it as an example, but wouldn't you want to reason to your child and go, you might not have liked it, but math is one of those things that you're going to need on an almost daily basis. So sometimes you just got to suck it up a little bit and take something that you're not going to enjoy.
Yeah, and there are majors that you may want to do that's required for. But if you never want to take a math class again, what that tells you is that, you know, you need to be a history major. You need to be a sociology major. You know, there are directions that your career should take you. That piece of information is incredibly useful to you in picking a major and in choosing a career. It may not mean that you never take one again, but that self-knowledge is what's going to take our kids to the places that are best for them, as opposed to trying to fit into some, you know, rubric that they think that they need to fulfill, because that's what all kids need to do.
Right. Right.
Lisa Heffernan is on the line with us, co-founder of grownandflown.com, which we found you. I was just tooling around the internet and went to grownandflown.com. And something about, we discussed this before, I believe May 1st is signing day, and it's all this prestigious talk about where you're going to college, but it isn't the school. It's what you get out of school, correct?
Yes, it's also the fit to that school. So, you know, we know a lot about what causes kids to do well or do badly in college, and it isn't how prestigious the university is. The number one thing that causes them to do well or badly in school and then later on is whether they have some sort of mentor relationship. And I use that term really broadly. That can be with a TA, that can be with a coach, that can be with a club advisor, but that they have some relationship, a really personal one-on-one relationship with some adult in their university experience. Oftentimes it's a professor or a teacher. That causes them to succeed at higher rates while they're in college, and it causes them to succeed at higher rates after college. That has nothing to do with how prestigious a university is. In fact, that has to do with how much individual attention you can get at a university. One of the second things that has to do with how well they succeed in college is how involved they get with activities, with academics, with clubs, with sports, you name it. If they don't feel that they're at home and that they have found their place and that they somehow fit at that university, then they're much more likely to drop out. So it won't matter what school you got into if you end up dropping out of it, does it?
I was reading in the news that a lot of people, there's a huge shortage of people in the trades, plumbing, electricians. And I just know that when I was a senior in high school and we all figured out where we wanted to go and I applied to Illinois State, I only made it a semester. I wasn't ready to go away to school, but it's like if you were going the trade route or you were going to become a beautician at the time, mm-hmm. boy, you weren't very successful. That was the easy way out. That I want that stigma to go away.
I agree, because those are jobs that you will be busy for life. You will have paying work every day that you want it, and that you'll constantly be in demand and be needed. Those are great jobs. And, you know, school, the academic setting is just not the right fit for every kid. And if it isn't, those other things are the right fit.
Do they still do aptitude tests, Lisa, or is that a thing of the past?
I think some schools do them. It's not everywhere. No. Yeah, you know, career aptitude tests.
Yeah, that used to be a really big thing in high school, and I don't remember the last time I heard anybody even talk about it.
Yeah, it's made worse by the fact that kids are just sort of pushed like sausages on this path. Yeah. And everybody has to go to 4-year college, and everybody has to get in, as you said, Wendy, to the most prestigious 4-year college. That is a recipe for disaster.
630 just texted us. With two boys in high school, we have had lots of college discussions. Love what you guys are saying. I feel like when I was that age, college was the time of discovery, but at $40,000 plus a year, that isn't possible anymore.
Yeah, you know, the parents are very, very concerned when they're helping their student pick a college, that college has a return on that investment because the investment is just so large. The rate of increase of college tuitions has way outstripped people's increase in income. So it's a much larger percentage of what we earn, what we pay in tuition, than what our parents would have done in our day if they paid for us at all. So she's absolutely right. It has gotten rid of that sort of period of self-discovery. Some of that is best done in high school, where we're not paying.
All right, Lisa Heffernan on the line with us. What book do you have out now? That you've written?
What book? We're writing a book right now, so it isn't out yet. We have 300 writers on Grown and Flown, writing on every aspect of parenting college, high school and college kids, and we're turning that into a book right at the moment. Actually, I was working out this morning. One thing I wanted to say to your listeners also is one of the things that we're finding with parents is they feel that this is a time where they're losing connections to people. I don't know if you feel this way. We don't really talk to our pediatrician anymore. We don't really talk to our kids' teachers in the same way they did when they were younger. And if our kids start to drive, we don't even talk to the other parents anymore. So parents start to feel very alone in this period where they're helping their kid make some of the most consequential decisions they're going to make in their lives.
It is a weird time. My kids don't go out that much. I wish they would go out more. They're home quite a bit. But you don't want to be nosy. So, you know, you'll go, hey, if they do go out, who are you going out with? And they say, oh, well, you don't know them. Just tell me their name. That's all I need to know. It is weird to let go and let them make decisions on their own. Bill, a whole different thing with your daughter being not even here.
Right. In New York. Yeah.
That's too
weird. There's that transition where you just have to say to yourself, I'm so used to seeing them every day, and now that's going to be changed. And then, like, once you figure it out, you figure it out. But it doesn't mean you don't miss them every day, you know. Let's do this. We'll take a quick break, and then more with Lisa Heffernan from Grown and Flown. If you have any questions or comments, we're easy to reach. We're at 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
All right, Lisa Heffernan on the line with us. She is one of the co-founders of grownandflown.com. And
are you grown or flown, Lisa? Which one are you?
I think I'm flown.
You're flown.
All right, here's a big question that is going to be probably tough to answer with one word. Is college necessary?
No.
Wow.
You did it. You did it in one word.
I did it. I did it. Yeah. You know, Wendy, what you were just talking about, I think, is a really important point. There are some wonderful, wonderful careers that will pay all through a person's life, keep them busy, satisfying work that don't require a degree. A twist on that is many kids are doing these boot camps to learn to code. So even something that we think of as academic as computer programming can often be done. There was an article in the New York Times yesterday or the day before, can often be done in these short-term courses. So if parents are looking to make an investment that will pay off quickly, something like that may be an alternative to college. So no, college is not necessary and it's not for everyone.
So what are the questions you should ask yourself or your child to determine whether or not college is a necessity or not?
Does my child thrive in a traditional academic setting? They've been in that setting from kindergarten through 12th grade. Is that a setting in which they thrive, or are they constantly fighting with themselves, constantly trying to make themselves jump through all the hoops that are involved in studying and tests and classes and the kinds of things they've done? Is that a place that they that brings out the best in them, or is that a difficult situation for them?
I know we all like to brag about our kids. We really do. But then there comes that time when you say, oh, my kid's going to go to a trade school, or my kid's going to take coding because he wants to do something in computers. People look at you funny and say, oh, well, what do you mean? They're not going to college? What do you say to those people?
My kid's not going to be sitting with $140,000 worth of debt that they're going to be paying off until they're in their mid-40s. It's not always a good academic decision. It's not a good personal decision. I think we have to step back and look at our kids and just forget the noise of what other people think and what other people say. And, you know, advise our kids, listen to our kids, and then advise them to do what's best for them.
What about the alternative of taking online courses? Are you a proponent of that or not?
Some of them are fantastic, yes. And it's a great way. You know, kids can do this during high school. My kids actually wanted to study something that wasn't offered at their high school. And so that's how they did it. They did it with an online course, which was a great discovery process because he ended up majoring in that in college, but it was economics.
Mm-hmm.
There was no economics class in his high school. And he had a notion of what it was, but he wasn't really sure what it was because if you've never had a class, it's, you know, a little theoretical in your mind. So it's a great way for kids to put their toe in the water for a lot of different subjects that they may or may not be able to take in their high school. And then when they get to college, have a better idea of what might interest them. So I'm a big proponent. Many of those online courses are literally just tapes of courses that are being given. So if you want to take a class that's being given at a school like Harvard, mm-hmm. those things are online. Many of them are online now. So it's a fantastic opportunity.
All right, I have to read you a text. Every time you have this woman on your show, I pull my hair out. Wendy, you apparently have lived in the same town your entire life, have trouble letting go of your sons, therefore reinforcing the same pattern. College is about so much more than just a career. Very few 17 or 18-year-old young people know what they want to do with their life, and college gives them the tools to learn so many things. Wendy, you're just using her to validate your choices. College is about so much more than the classroom. But not everyone can afford college for their kids.
Exactly. She is right that there is so much more. And that's why I was saying, I don't know if she heard this part, but that one of the important things, two important things at college have nothing to do with your academic involvement. They have to do with finding a mentor, somebody who can teach you about a lot of things that you'd learn outside of a classroom, and finding something that you're really involved with and that it's meaningful to you. Because those are processes of self-discovery. She's right about that. But it isn't for everybody. And as you say, not everyone can afford it. For some families, it's prohibitive.
And some kids may not be ready. And you have to decide what's best for your child. Ralph has a question for you. Ralph, this is Lisa Heffernan. You can find her at grownandflown.com.
Hey, just a general question of how do you feel about going to community colleges for the first couple of years just to get acclimated to taking classes and the tougher homework assignments and so forth?
I hung up on her.
Oh,
I should have gone to college on how to use a telephone.
Please answer Ralph's question then. Your thoughts on community college.
We will get her back very quickly to answer this. Do you have a kid that is either going or will be going to a junior college?
Yeah, my son actually is graduating from NIU on May the 12th this year. But he did go to community college for the first 2.5 years, though, first.
The savings tremendous, isn't it, Ralph?
Okay, now Ralph is gone, but Lisa's back.
Oh.
Community college.
Yeah, community college, great option. Is that what he was saying? It's a great option both for money and for actually what your earlier listener said. Do some of that discovery at a lower price point, a little closer to home, maybe if your kid isn't ready, and then they have a better sense of what they're going to when they go to a four-year, what they're looking for when they go to a four-year college.
You just need to make sure in advance that the credit hours will transfer over, right? Yeah. That's key to this.
Yeah.
And it's pretty easy. My son ended up going to a community college. That's where he's going right now. He wanted to go away like a lot of his friends. It's weird. I know a lot of his acquaintances have come home and will be attending the junior college with him. Sometimes it's a tough adjustment. So, again, you have to do what's right for your kid, right, Lisa?
Exactly. Exactly.
Sorry to use you to validate my opinions.
And for hanging up on you.
That's all right.
You came back. That was nice.
Please keep us posted on everything All Grown and Flown. Please, listeners, go to grownandflown.com. You don't have to listen to my opinions. You can read whatever they have there and base your own opinions on what you think. And also, we would love to talk to you when this book comes out. What is it going to include?
It's going to include high school and college. So it's going to be about a lot of topics about family, about getting ready for college, about alternatives. It's going to be about lots of topics about high school kids.
Excellent. Good luck to you on that. And we'll talk to you
soon.
Lisa.
Thanks, Lisa.
Thank you so much.
Now hang up on her.
Okay. Now
hang up.
I'm
and
done.
Gone. Okay.
Quick break. We'll come back with the news. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN. It's Bill Leff, it's Wendy Snyder, and Dane Neal is here. He is host of On the Road with Dane Neal. That's a weird name for a show. On Saturdays from 2 to 4. I enjoy listening to you, Dane, on the weekend.
That was a mixed compliment, by the way. Did you
notice
that?
No, I was teasing, you know, like, on the road with Dane Neal.
It's like, even though you're unappealing, somehow I am mildly...
I find you attractive, but you're not...
Or tolerable.
Right.
I do enjoy listening to you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It's kind of like an eclectic blend. We do... You know, some of the car stuff and motorsports, but the transformative travel, family road trips, and, you know, some food here and there, too. So mm-hmm. it's a lot of
something
fun.
Something for everyone, Dane. Would that be fair?
I would like to say for everyone, that,
for everyone.
That I'm considerate of.
6 to 106. Everyone enjoys it.
Yeah, I think so. Right. That's it. Yeah.
Everyone
like
enjoys
Village.
Jerky, too. Can I tell you that?
You know, here's the thing. Jerky is like a big ball of mystery in the food world, right? Because it's there at the end of, the checkout line, right, with all the other relatively cheap things, mm-hmm. right?
But except that's not cheap.
Somehow it's so expensive, and there must be something in it. That is really, we talked about attractiveness because the kids absolutely love it. We love it. And people love it. I mean, someone is paying for it, right? Mm-hmm. And someone is eating it. So jerky is hot.
That's my road trip snack, that and corn nuts. It's perfect for a road trip.
Well, when you think about it, you guys were having somebody on talk about your perfect job, perfect career. Career as a jerky impresario is probably not on the...
didn't right, make the list?
Student advisor list
all right.
at this point. But in studio, we have Chef Lance Avery. He's the founder of Big Fork Brands. You know him from their artisan sausages. They do the bacon sausage, all sorts of great sausages, great stuff, incredible ingredients. And now into the world of jerky with his Kraft Jerky line. Chef, welcome to WGN.
Thank you for having
me. Lance. Thanks for coming up.
Good to see you.
Is any of what Dane just said true?
All of it is true. All of it.
Impresario is on. I was wondering if that was gender specific as I said it.
And I think you're all right. All right, so how did you get involved with all this?
Well, yeah, as Dane was saying, it started with Big Fork bacon sausage. And then actually about 3 years ago, I had the idea of jerky. I was looking back at my emails. But it took me over a year to get label approval because of the USDA. They're just very strict on what you can call things. And I was trying to call something that they didn't like. So
the part that they had a quibble with was just the word jerky?
It was, well, we don't need to get into details, but uh-huh. I was trying to call it something that they didn't like. I was trying to be a little cute with the marketing name. So, yeah. But
it
then
wasn't
I said,
like it was an apple with a, you know, there's a tomato in there.
Oh, okay.
So right. I just said, I scrapped it and just called it Kraft Pork Jerky.
And they were good with that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. So, and they actually advised me to call it on the back. It says bacon-inspired pork jerky, and that's exactly what it is.
Oh,
so
right.
I took a little page from what their
good
advice
move.
Was. Yeah, so,
very good move.
Anyway, so it's we're getting into a different segment of the category. You know, we're still all things pork. We work with small independent farmers in Iowa. It's the same place that we source our pork from, the family farmers, and Now we're just all we're doing. And you talked about how the cost of jerky is so expensive, basically because we dry it out. And so all of a sudden the cost doubles because your yields are half.
Oh, sure.
So that's a big part of it. And it's also the processing is pretty labor intensive.
Yeah.
You have to cut it. It's marinated and then it's dried, and that, you know, that's, and this is all made in Springfield, Illinois, so it's all local.
Well, the all natural side of it is what I think is different. I think just like you have a Slim Jim, there's like this long list of all these crazy ingredients and nitrates and preservatives and things like that. On the sausage side, that's one of the things that you're known for is, you know, all natural, great ingredients, but you take something that is kind of in the team photo of unhealthy-ish type, you know, jerky just seems like it's one of those super snack foods that wouldn't be good. How did you do that and keep it kind of all natural and without any of those preservatives?
Yeah, the funny thing is that I'm a chef by trade, and I've been doing product development for the last 15 years. So making products and commercializing products is actually totally within my wheelhouse, and it only took 2 weeks to make. And like I said, the labels took me a year to get approval, so that was kind of a painful year.
It's all behind you now.
And, yeah, exactly, exactly. But it's really just six ingredients, you know. And
jerky's good for you.
Well, it can be, you know.
I mean,
obviously,
not if that's all you eat. Although, is that all you're eating?
Look how big that Jack Link's guy is. That big
right.
Yeah. Currently, I'm on a 21 day bacon, all bacon jerky diet.
Oh,
we'll call it a jerky fast. Well, I watched myself in the running in the treadmill at a hotel. Got to do something about this. And then, you know, I was at
the jerky diet.
Well, I was in spinning class yesterday morning, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to try 21 days. I've never done anything like this in my life.
You can do it.
I don't know.
You're just eating jerky and drinking water.
Drinking a ton of water, yeah.
And coffee and vitamins, too.
Yes, coffee and vitamins. I don't
recommend anyone.
I haven't consulted anyone.
Obviously.
My kids, like, I came home from spinning class and I told them, and they're like, you can't do it. There's no way. And that just motivated me a little bit more.
See, we're talking
21 minutes. Days? How many days have you made it?
One. 24 hours.
Oh, my God.
How does this compare to your donut and Mountain Dew diet of last year? Is it difficult or not as hard?
Well, that's the reason why I got a big ass, right?
Well, you do not have a big ass.
But it is, I think, the perfect time for one of those disclaimers to say that, you know, whenever you're going to embark on any kind of, you know, change in your diet or your workout regimen or any kind of ingestion of large amounts of jerky or any other food, right? You should consult with your physician or yourself,
sure.
Right? And sign all your personal waiver forms. It'd be good to go.
Always a good idea.
Yeah.
A lot of salt in jerky, though, huh?
Yeah, it is. And that's the reason why I'm consuming. Well, that's the preservative.
Yeah.
So you really, you know, if you think about it, this doesn't go through a cook process. Mm-hmm. It gets marinated for 2 days and then it's dried out and smoked. So there's no real cook process.
So it's nearly impossible, if not 100% impossible, to pull this off without salt, right? Can you do this without salt?
No, not that
you
I
can't.
So
wait,
you can do
raw?
It without sugar.
Yeah, without sugar, sure.
And there's like the keto stuff out there, but you know this is not a keto friendly. This is a paleo friendly, where there is a little bit of sugar, and that's just really to balance out that salt, because salt and sugar kind of play off of each other.
Yeah. A lot of people put that in their spaghetti sauce: a little salt, little sugar, because of the acidic tomatoes.
Right.
So, is this technically a raw meat that's just dried out?
Yeah, I mean, it does go through a slow, subtle kill step. So they do take it up to a certain degree to kill any of the microbes, but. Yeah.
I don't know if I can eat jerky anymore now.
Wendy, but more or less, it's a way of preserving. It's something that we've been doing for thousands of years.
Like salami and things.
Yeah, I mean, but even more so, you know, if you killed like a bison or something.
I have.
You know, out
with my bare hands.
You know.
Wendy did it this morning.
And, you know, you needed, you know, only fresh meat would last so long.
Yeah,
so,
that's true.
You know, you have to do something with it, and you dry it out, and salt. Definitely helps preserve that.
Yeah.
Here's the other side of it. Like, as an award-winning chef, and maybe in the next segment we can get into kind of the thought process, because everyone knows this. I think it's a great buzzword, right? You say jerky, Wendy, the first thing you said was like, I love jerky.
Yeah.
I think everybody says that. But then I think you're challenged as a chef to kind of like, hey, well, can there's so much more we can do with it than just, of course, it's got to fit all those categories. It's got to be in a plastic bag, I guess, right? That's the requirement. But there's so many things you can do on the flavor side, right, to make it to where people will bite into it and say, yes, it's jerky, but it's so much better. And I guess we'll talk about that chef side of it and that thought process when we come back.
More jerky discussion when we come back. Thank you, Dane. Nice transition. It's Bill, it's Wendy, it's Dane, it's Chef Lance. We're all
having
just
a
sitting
jerky
around.
Party.
You know what? I've never felt more like a cowboy than just now. Don't you just feel like cowboys?
I just have to tell you that where do we find this jerky? Because this is really sensational.
In your grocer's freezer, Wendy.
No.
BigForkBrands.com. BigForkBrands.com.
But it's in stores as well, right? If you don't want to go to the website, you can find it in stores.
We just launched about 2 months ago.
Yeah.
And we're getting into some smaller, like, independent stores. But actually, a lot of the big guys have either said no or will take a pass for now. A lot of it has to do with money. Like, you know, it's this I'm learning that the jerky market is dominated by a couple big players.
Yeah.
And we're a small, very small company without a lot of money. We can't, like, pay for slotting fees, which is basically paying for real estate.
Right.
Probably similar to the ancient fight when Bubblicious came in against Wrigley, you know, and
classic
Wrigley
fight.
Was there for
yeah.
the longest time.
So you have like a tasting session, right? You'll go to Mariano's or Jewel and say, here's our product, give it a try.
Right.
And so far, it's not in there, but we're hoping for
it. It's bound to happen.
Yeah.
It just, it hasn't happened yet.
Okay.
And, but we are working with, we can sell online. We're actually on Amazon.com.
Oh, good.
So we can do that. We also sell on our website, BigForkBrands.com. But we, you know, and we're selling, actually, right now I'm selling to a lot of breweries.
Are you?
It is the best jerky I've ever had.
Really
I'm
good.
Not kidding.
And
really
CrossFit
good.
And, like, you know, gyms. Basically any place where, you know, people are looking for a high protein snack with just, you know, 100 calories. So each bag is 100 calories.
Oh, wow.
With that kind of feel of a little bit of, like, pedestrian decadence to it, right?
Yeah, right.
I mean, it's jerky. It comes to mind. There's a lot of different products out there, different things that we know, love, that everybody enjoys and understands that have become kind of elevated over the years, whether it's the coffee, whether it's the donut thing, whether it's the hamburger. And it's great to see. This is a great product. I think it's a great choice too, Lance, because it's the kind of thing everybody knows and loves. And to get a chef involved and get that thought process on the flavor side, because we'll eat, I think America will eat and enjoy bad jerky. And we've been doing it for many, many years. So the thought process on the flavor side, what were you thinking? How long did it take you to, I don't know how long it takes to actually make, but as far as, like, to get the flavors the way that you wanted them.
Well, one thing that I really decided at a very early stage was not to use soy sauce in any of our jerky, because soy sauce is in
salt water.
It dominates the flavor.
Right.
And most of the jerky that's out there on the marketplace, soy sauce is the number two ingredient, minus after meat is soy sauce. And that really dominates the flavor profile. Where I wanted a blank canvas, you know, just from a chef perspective, if I just use salt, I can go a million different directions. You know, if salt's my carrier as my preservative, then what on top of that can I use? And that's, you know, we have a maple, you know, and that just works really well.
I'm super
it's very clean.
Sensitive to salt. If something tastes too salty, I don't want any part of it. I'm not. Yeah. I'm tasting just a trace amount of salt in this.
And it's
very
so. I mentioned off the air, it's tender. It's not like it's melt in your mouth, and it shouldn't be because it's jerky.
Right.
But it is just really just a wonderful consistency and very tasty.
Well, here's the other side of it too, that I think, and you've got the ingredients the elements on the spices and the cooking and the chef side of it too. But you got to start with that great ingredient. You talk about, you know, great breweries talk about, we got to have the right water. You know, you got to start with something like that. And I think it's important to mention that it's Berkshire Hogs, right? That's what you're using, which is a heritage breed pig, which is an absolutely insanely awesome. This is not commodity pork. I mean, this is high level stuff to start with. So you got to figure it's going to taste pretty good.
Well, yeah, it's, you know, if you start with good ingredients, it's really easy to make good stuff. But it's on the opposite side. If you start with crappy ingredients, it's hard to make products taste good. So
what is typical, and we always hear that kind of scare tactic of, like, okay, if you knew what hot dogs are made of, what is jerky typically made of? Is it made of a high quality ingredient, and why is it typically so expensive even for bad stuff?
Part of it has to do, you know,
well, the market,
I mean, the big guys are, they're making a ton of money. I'm not gonna, you know, and that's why
the five families, is it like the Godfather?
Totally. And I mean, that's what part of the reason why I'm getting blocked out is because they have these contracts.
Yeah, I'm sure of it.
That's so funny.
And so there's other handouts there that that companies get, and you know, they have exclusivity.
Yeah.
All right. So people are texting, where can I get it? You mentioned Springfield. I'm near there now. Where can I buy it right now? What do we tell people?
Go to Amazon.com and you can do just a search for Big Fork Craft Pork Jerky.
Lance, I see a day. You know how they have a Good Humor truck going around the neighborhoods with ice cream? You guys should have a jerky truck and kids can run up and get jerky in the summertime.
Play the right music. Anything's possible.
With the right investor, there's anything that's
nice?
Possible. Yes.
Yeah.
And I think I saw something on, as you're attacking all of our kind of checkout lane norms, is you know, the whole Slim Jim thing is, are you making some sticks too, some pork sticks?
So we're just elevating everything that is associated as like kind of bad. We're trying to, so next week we're actually we're launching our craft pork snack sticks, and we've got three flavors in there. So we've got an original just like our jerky, and then we have a maple pepper, so we're kind of combining those two.
Diversifying a little bit. I know with beer, if you have a craft beer, that it's dictated by the amount you're making at a time. Is it like that with jerky? Is that the same or not?
They don't have the same, like...
Is it regulated the same?
Yeah, it's not regulated that like all that. Right. It's dominated by a couple big players. And then there's a few smaller craft, individual... companies like ourselves.
You're using craft, is it to say it's a step up? It's better than your average.
It's small
product.
Batch too. Yeah. I mean, we're talking 1,000 pounds at a time, and that's as much as versus 100,000 pounds.
Right.
That's kind of what they're
and
doing.
It's pork jerky.
Yeah.
We
right.
Need to that is
usually
you're getting beef jerky.
Everyone calls it's either beef jerky or turkey jerky. That's probably 95% of the market that's out there.
Wow.
Well, so, as you get bigger though, too, and Bill mentioned, I think you hit on it too, the FJC, the Federal Jerky Commission, is probably going to weigh in with some regulations on that. But I wanted to know, as you get going to kind of get into it, you're in the early parts, but we want to kind of inspire you to keep going and stay strong. Is what's the over under? What do you guys think on the jerky diet? How long do you think Lance is going to be able to keep
your
it up?
Your goal is 21 days? Wendy, what do you think?
Well, I want to know, as I'm stuffing my face with pork jerky, how many bags are you eating? Because each bag is 100 calories.
I'm trying to limit myself to 8. So that's
800 calories.
Yeah.
Wow.
I've already lost 2 pounds.
In a day?
Yeah.
That's not bad.
Now, I mean, it could be all...
Water.
Yeah. Yeah, it could be.
I give you 2 more days, that's all.
Well, the funny thing is, I've got an event tonight at Half Acre where it's like
it's
free booze.
Yeah, you're done.
I know.
That's too bad.
It's going to test me, for sure.
Steely resolve.
I start after tonight.
I'm amazed you're pulling this bag off at 100 calories, because in my head I was thinking 10 times that.
Yeah, well, it's...
That's amazing.
Well, part of that is because it's so lean.
Yeah.
So we're using the... And the hard thing about Berkshire and... you mentioned Berkshire hogs and how wonderful, from a, flavorful perspective, it's because they have got a lot of fat.
Yeah.
Now, the hardest thing is that I'm using the leanest part of the Berkshires. And
that's why.
That is why. Yeah. It's basically, there's zero fat to it. And that's where a lot of times you get a lot of your increased calories.
Right.
Where it's just, it's basically pure protein.
And I know that it's like jerky's expensive and you're using the best ingredients and the best hogs. Like, I know as a thoughtful guy, like, you're trying to keep the price point as down as slow as you can. And as you get bigger, maybe that can change. What does it cost to get into some big fork?
It all depends. Like, you mean retail wise?
Yeah. What are you thinking of charging or what?
So you can buy it online, and it's going to be the same cost that you should get it at a store, which is at $5, which is about $1 to $2 less than.
That's great. That is absolutely. That is $2 less than what it is at any store.
And it's all antibiotic free, so it's all the same. Clean label. You can read the back and you know exactly what's in it. I mean, 6 ingredients. If it's the maple, there's 7, obviously, because you have to put maple syrup.
After you open it, refrigerate, or use within 3 days. This will not last 3 days.
Right.
This will last 3 more minutes.
Lance, great to meet you, and nothing but good luck with your product. Again, you can get it through Amazon. You can get it through their own website. It's Big Fork Craft Pork Jerky. So delicious. And good tasting and good for you, as we like to say in the business.
thank you. Guys.
I don't know if it's true, but
it could be. It might be true.
I'll be in for Patty tonight and tomorrow too. So maybe we'll eat some on the air. Who knows?
Wouldn't that be some fun energy?
I will. Well, you might have to interview me in 21 days.
Oh,
what's left of you?
It might be hard to find.
I might be preserved.
Where did he go? All right, we'll take a quick break, then some news, then more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
All right, we're both in trouble here because I took a bigger bite than you.
Oh, Wendy, come on.
You have little minuscule bites. Yeah. You're way more dainty.
Mini jerkies. Hi, everybody. It's Bill and Wendy. Earlier, I mentioned this, and I wanted to make sure we got this in before the close of business today. There's a candy that is, it's called In the Story. This is from MSN. One of the least favorite candies in America.
Good and plenty.
It's not Good and Plenty. Here's what you need to know. Even though it is considered by many to be one of the most vile, disgusting of all the candies, it looks like they're going out of business. And because they're going out of business, people want it all of a sudden. People who have known about it for years and years and years and have passed it saying, I couldn't eat this candy. This is the worst. Why would I want to buy this? Now that it's going out of business, they're stocking up on it. They can't get enough of it.
What candy is vile?
I saw it.
You already know then.
Well, wait, I don't know. And it is, I'm not telling you, but it is vile.
Once you hear it, you'll go, well, yeah, nobody likes that. Who would eat that? Now, earlier, Mary guessed Mary Jane's, and I will tell you this. It is not Mary Jane's, but it's the same company responsible for Mary Jane's. They make a lot of candy that whenever you see it in a store, you go, oh, yeah, my great aunt used to love this stuff in 1951. It's not Root Beer Barrels. No. Would they ever stop?
Is it the Anise candies?
Nope.
Because I actually like those.
Do you like those?
I don't love them. I did. When your grandfather has hard candies because he's trying to quit smoking,
yeah,
you eat whatever he has. And then you pretend you like it because it's candy.
This is so good, Grandpa.
Coffee
Please.
Candies? Sure. Well, they're delicious.
Oh,
nicotine candies? Yum. Give me some. Give me one more hint.
Kim, what's a fair hint to give that wouldn't give it away? All right, here's a hint.
It's not chocolate, and it's not chewy.
It comes in a multiple of flavors, each of them awful. Like, you know how, like with a lot of candies, all right, like with Starburst, the
just
orange aren't good.
Just think about eating chalk.
No, you'll get it right away if you think about that.
Wafers.
Yeah, the Necco wafers.
Oh, sorry. Maybe that was too easy.
Little chalk circles.
I never liked those.
No one likes them.
Who likes them? And then they have a licorice one, which is the grossest of them all.
Yes. There's a licorice. There's a wintergreen.
They have still been around?
Oh, yeah. Forever. And at Halloween, you can get like that one package that's like, it's like a quarter of the size of a regular roll. Like usually Necco wafers are roughly the size of a quarter, but these are about the size of a penny kind of. There's like eight of them in a pack.
I haven't seen them in probably 30 years.
Oh, no, they've been around forever. They used to be like before, if you went to a Catholic school, before you got First Communion.
They'd whip them at you?
You'd practice like with your friends. You go, let's play Communion.
But
and you get a bunch of Necco wafers and play
that
communion.
That was not the right way to practice. You had to practice communion with the little flying saucers because those were the same material as the host.
Right.
As the body of Christ.
Right.
This was the body of aliens. Right. I'm not going to get hit by lightning,
yes,
am
are.
I?
Yes, you are. I'm going to move up. I'm going to slightly move back so that when you get hit by lightning.
That must be bad if you're worried.
It says here, the word is that the country's oldest continuously operating candy company might shut down. I didn't know that about Necco wafers. They are the country's oldest continuously operating candy company. There's rumors that they may shut down despite the candy's unpopularity. It says here, amongst everyone. Nobody likes them. They just exist. And even when I read this story, I said to myself, oh, that's so sad that Necco wafers are going out of business. And then I thought, but if I saw them in a store, if they were giving them away, I wouldn't take them.
And so why do stores buy them if nobody likes them?
Why are they still around?
Yeah.
I think they're, all right.
I mean, I know they have like these retro candy sections, which are cool, and I like that. But if it's a retro candy that nobody likes, like why carry it?
It's a two-pronged process. Number one, for those of us, you know, who grew up with them, you're used to seeing them, and it's like, oh yeah, they still make them. Want one? No,
never. I never wanted one back then.
Right.
I never wanted one, and you know, I got to file this one. TJ, we just want you to get this out because we know this, but and I'm sure everyone does. But go ahead.
Oh yeah, they're back in the 80s and 90s. They used to catch people throwing them in the toll booths on the tollway.
And even the toll booths would go, ah, no thanks. They're a little chalky for me.
Did they go, ah?
Ah.
Thank you, TJ.
Yeah, you know, like when you pay at a toll booth and it says thank you, after you put Necco wafers in, it would go,
it would flip you off.
Right. We're on to you. Nice try. It says the chalky candy's flavors, which included chocolate, licorice, and wintergreen. The licorice one, by the way, one of the most vile candies of all time.
Well, do you like black licorice?
No.
All right, because I don't love it.
But the combination of licorice and chalk. If you had a Necco wafer in one hand and a piece of chalk in the other and took a bite out of both, you'd probably go, oh, you know what, the chalk's not that bad. I'll have more chalk,
please. I think I'd honestly rather drink Pepto-Bismol than eat those.
Oh, yeah.
That's what it reminded me of.
Yeah.
I mean, it did. A wintergreen lifesaver is pretty much the exact same flavor as Pepto-Bismol.
The wintergreen Necco wafer was the white one, correct? It would have to be.
It was peppermint, wasn't it?
No, wintergreen.
I think they all tasted the same, and quite honestly, the licorice one was the best because it tasted less chalk-like and more like
something
a flavor.
Else.
Yeah.
So what would the green one have been? It wasn't lime. It was like a dusty green colored one.
Yeah.
What flavor would that have been?
Linda Blair.
Mold.
Linda Blair.
From The Exorcist.
Oh, maybe.
That's the color green it was.
Wow. You guys really don't like Necco wafers.
Uh-oh.
What?
I can't believe this. Betty.
Yes.
You like Necco wafers?
I love them. And, you know, I wish I could remember, but, you know, I was somewhere shopping only the last 2-3 weeks, and I saw them, and I had to buy another package of them. I haven't seen them in ages. I love those things.
Really?
What's to love?
I mean, there were certain flavors that I did like, the chocolate ones, the pink one, which was like the mental green or something like that.
Wintergreen.
All right,
yeah. If the pink one's wintergreen, what is the white one flavored like?
That I don't remember. I just remember my 3 or 4 favorites of those.
Mm.
But, yeah, I'm sorry to hear that they're going out of business, and if I see them again, I'm going to buy a few. And
stock up.
Do you get a thank you card from Necco Wafers every once in a while? Because no one else likes them. You're the only one, Betty.
Oh, well, I can't be the only one, but probably one of the many few. And, you know, as a child growing up, I'm in my mid-70s, so as a child growing up, you know, they were quite common in the neighborhood grocery store, so I'd get them from time to time. But I love them.
They tasted a little like the candy cigarettes, in a way, like the same chalky consistency. Yeah.
Right. But, you know, I just like them. I've never been a smoker or anything, so I didn't have to use anything, you know, to get off of.
All right.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Betty. You know, the other really chalky candy is when you would get Tops. Well, did you get baseball cards? Were you a baseball card kid?
Yeah.
The gum that came on the back of the baseball cards.
I liked
that gum.
Was
always stuck to one of it. But that had also a very, very chalky consistency.
It was the powdered sugar.
The powder on the outside.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Me too.
Quite honestly. Mm.
Do you remember those wacky packs?
Sure.
Yes, that's where the gum.
Yeah, that's where you got the gum too.
Yeah.
All right, I guess there are more people that enjoy them. Chuck, you actually like these crazy candies?
Yes, I do. Good afternoon. How are you doing?
Chuck, what's an example of another food that you like, just so we can gauge your taste buds? Like if you said packing bubbles, I'd go, oh, yeah, okay.
Well, I understand about the baseball gum, baseball card gum, but the other one that I kind of like is the sweet tarts.
Oh, sweet tarts are great.
You know, they're kind of chalky, too, but not the same.
Yes, they are.
It's not the same consistency. The Necco wafers are like a crunchy, hard chalk.
Yeah.
It's the sweet tart's a little more dissolvable chalk.
Right. And also, my other favorite, not because of the name, but Chuckles.
Chuckles are pretty good.
And the Chuckles, I always take the black one and then pass it on to everybody else.
Now, the black ones are the worst.
Same with Dots.
I'd eat the black. I had Dots. My son bought me Dots the other day, and it's still a black licorice one, and it's pretty good.
Yeah. But going back to the Necco wafer, the white one, I think, tasted more like a vanilla, and the green was more wintergreen.
Oh, interesting. Okay, maybe that makes sense. All right, the white's vanilla, the green is wintergreen. Okay.
You better stock up on them, Chuck. And we have to take this call from John, because, John, go ahead and mention your candy.
Yeah, when I was growing up, remember that candy Snaps?
Yeah, licorice candy, and you can make smoke come out of it.
Those were hideous.
Yeah, my grandma would have a bowl of Snaps, and I would fall for it every time because I'd be like, oh, last time I took the green one, because they had a different candy coating on each one.
But they were all pastel, like an Easter egg. They were pastel colors.
Yeah, they looked like they'd be sweet tasting. Yeah.
And every one of them was black licorice. Yeah. So I would say, well, I'm not going to go for the green one. That's black licorice. I'm going to go for the red. Well, that was black licorice, too. And they all tasted like a roofing shingle.
I think they used them as roofing shingles.
We do remember those. They were the worst, John. Thank you so much.
But you'd still eat them because it's candy. Still candy.
You're not going to say no to candy.
And my son Michael just texted me. He bought me Juji fruit, not dots. And I had the black licorice one. And those have gotten, my mom loved those. And Juju bees, my mom liked. Those things were so hard. They were never soft. They were so hard. Right. Juji fruit, at least you could put your teeth in a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. I remember Necco wafers also getting stale. I don't know what their shelf life was. And again, it'd be impossible to tell. But there were some that were hard and chalky, and then there were some you go to a store and you'd get some, and it would just break off into pieces when you put it in your mouth. It was all stale.
Do you remember Turkish taffy?
Oh, yeah.
Did you freeze it?
No, are you supposed to freeze it?
I would freeze it, or you'd throw it on the sidewalk to break it into little pieces.
Right.
Oh, boy.
You did that.
We're reminiscing down Candy Lane. I'm turning into the female Bill Left.
Yes,
did you guys like Zots?
Love them.
Yes. Oh, love Zots.
Those are incredible.
They were just fizzies, right?
Well, no, they were hard on the outside, but then they had that magical fizzy powder inside. Fizzies are a little bit different.
Different than Pop Rocks, though.
Yeah.
I never really liked Pop Rocks.
You don't like Pop Rocks? No?
No, but it was fun to put them in your mouth. If we had some right now, you could just open your mouth and you'd hear it.
Hear the snap, crackle,
sizzle,
pop.
Sizzle, sizzle.
It always sounded like an audience, so that's why I did it, so I could think that I was performing.
Thanks, everybody. Thank you. Thank you. All right, we'll take a quick break. Necco wafers are going under. How can that be? We're at 312-981-7200. Are you happy or sad? Give us a call. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
All right, Bill has informed us that the Necco wafer is going away, which I got to be honest with you, I didn't even know they were still around.
Oh, yeah. They've been around. They've been around for, are you ready, 170 years?
The music stopped.
Right. The music was shocked by that. The background music couldn't even believe it, but they have existed out of the New England Confectionery Company that is based in Revere, Massachusetts. This is their 170th year. They discovered recently that they're only selling one package of candy a year to a woman named Betty somewhere in the Chicagoland area, and so they're closing up shop. And what's happening now is people are clamoring to get their hands on Necco wafers, even though we hate them.
Although, I think Patty has a reason that they are somewhat popular. Hi, Patty.
Hi, Wendy. Gosh, I love you guys so much. But I'm worried about the holiday gingerbread houses. How is anybody going to make a roof without the Necco wafer roof tile?
I never thought about that. That's probably why they're selling all their product, because they're the roofs for...
I think that's why they're still in business at all.
The weird thing is you could use it as a roof on your real house.
Yeah. Holds up. Good thoughts, Patty. We appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.
And Mary Jane, named after the candy. Hi, Mary Jane.
Yes, good afternoon. Oh, still morning. Good morning. Yes. You were disparaging the Mary Janes. I was so disappointed when I heard that.
I like the Mary Janes, Mary Jane.
Mary Vandeville doesn't like them.
I love them.
Coffee with a little bit of peanut butter in the middle. Oh, they're wonderful.
And the girl on the package looks like she's from 1866. That's fantastic.
So do I.
She looks like the Morton Salt girl, kind of, doesn't she? They are friends?
Yeah, they're friends. Yeah, they've been friends for a long time.
Yes.
Well, do you just like them because your name is Mary Jane?
Yes, partly. And I would, you know, when people say Mary Jane, I say, oh, you know, remember the sweet candies? That's sweet like me.
Wow. Beautiful. Thank you, Mary Jane.
An opening line, right? That's kind of funny.
Yeah, it worked. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Good luck.
Thank you.
I enjoy your program every day. Thank you.
Oh, you're very kind.
Bye.
Thank you.
You know what I just realized,
Mary Jane?
What's this?
Is they make, Necco makes the sweetheart hearts for Valentine's Day.
Yes.
And those are chalky, and I like those. So why don't I like the wafers?
I'd like to look at them. I don't like to eat them.
Yeah, they're not good to eat either.
And now I don't mind those.
And they always say funny things like, be mine.
Love you.
Right. They make me laugh so
hysterical.
Hard. Here's what they make. This is the confectionery company, the New England Confectionery Company of Revere, Massachusetts. Been around for 107 years. They make Necco wafers. They make Mary Janes. They make squirrel nut zippers, not the band, the candy that the band named themselves after.
What is that like?
Well, no wonder
like
they're going
Google
out of business.
Cluster.
Oh, I'd
remember
like
Google clusters?
It's not like a Google cluster.
Yeah. Clusters are good.
Yeah, they are like that. Squirrel nut zippers are kind of
really?
Like,
like a bun? Bar?
Yeah, in the bun family. Is there a bun family in candy? I don't know.
That's the only man bun I like, is if he has a bun candy on his head.
They make sweet hearts, but not sweet tarts.
Yeah, because
totally
one has
different
flavor.
Sweetheart, right.
One's not good in your mouth.
And then they also make these, and I love these. I didn't know they were made by the same people who make Necco wafers. Clark bars?
Well,
you don't like Clark bars?
They taste so old.
They do taste old. Even if you got one fresh off the assembly line, you'd go, what's this from when Johnson was president? This is old.
It's kind of
a crunchy thing
covered by some sort of
a peanut butter layer in there.
There is?
Yeah, and a Clark bar, yeah.
Oh, I was thinking about it. I think I'm thinking of a Zag Nut.
No, Zag Nut's more nut heavy.
But you're right. Clark bar has something kind of dry.
Zag Nut is more nut heavy.
Yeah, it is.
That's Hence the name Zag Nut.
Zag Nut.
A Clark bar, though, you're right. It's got like something dry and shredded in it.
Yeah, yeah.
Again, dry and...
Right. I know. It doesn't sound appealing when you describe it, but there's something about the taste of it, but I don't...
Right. As usual, I will never doubt you again when it comes to old things.
Thank you.
It's a candy bar consisting of crispy peanut butter-based core
and
robed in milk chocolate.
Yeah, it's robed in milk chocolate.
Enrobed.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a Butterfinger, but nowhere near as good.
It's like an old Butterfinger.
Right.
It's a Butterfinger for older people.
A spoiled one.
If you can, right. If you're too old to handle the excitement that a Butterfinger would bring you, you would go with the Clark bar.
Right. Now let me see the Zag Nuts.
It's going to say nut heavy. I bet the words nut heavy are in there.
It was launched in 1930 by the Clark Company, sold to Leaf later on.
Yeah.
I can't find what it is. Oh, here we go. The Zag Nuts' main ingredients are peanut brittle with cocoa and toasted coconuts.
Yeah.
That is what I was thinking of.
Yeah, I love coconuts, so that's why.
I'm cuckoo for coconuts.
Me too.
Best of all, it's made out of coconut.
All right, Although, could you use Necco wafers as cat
litter? Best of all, it's made out of Necco wafers.
I just want you to give it a try. Did I hear you guys not knowing what Clark bars were?
No, I love Clark bars. Yeah.
Kim and I got them confused with the Zag Nut.
No, it's the poor man's Butterfinger.
It's an old version of a Butterfinger. Same thing. All right, we will take a break, and then Steve will tell us what he has on the Wintrust business lunch, or join us on the stream. We'd love to have you for the bonus hour. Stick around, Bill and Wendy, WGN.